sing it. I don't care where you're from. That's just a blessing from on high, and we appreciate how good God's been and what He's going to do for us, not only now, but in days to come. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And if you find the place, you're able to stand, looking about verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, about verse number 11. And all I've been is, I've noticed now that I'm getting a little older that I can read a paragraph or two and then I have to take a nap before I can read the next one. And then I have to really strain my brain and all I've been is there. And I don't know if that's part of what just repercussions of old age or stroke with it or altogether and all that. But whatever burden you may have, it's not like Miss Juanita. How'd you like to have to rock Brother Darrell to sleep whenever he's feeling bad? Or Brother Joe, look how tall he is. I guarantee you that's an armful there, Miss Sandy. All right, I'm just kind of messing with him. I hope you fellas are getting the feeling better, by the way. And all the whole family, God bless you. And I hope you're getting the feel better and all you other people that are sick. All right, chapter number 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do praise you and thank you, thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. And we thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together, for the good special music that we've heard, and how it's thrilled and blessed our heart and filled our soul, and we give you the glory and praise for it. Now, bless, I pray, this sermon in this building in every heart now. I pray that you'd touch them. Lord, save the lost, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach about the foundation a little while this morning, if we might. Now, let me tell you right now, you're going to find out that whenever we look into that, there is not another foundation that's ever been laid or can be laid than which is the foundation that's already been laid by the Lord God of glory. His name is Jesus Christ. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, this is the one that Abraham was talking about whenever he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, over there in the book of Hebrews 11 and verse number 10. I got to say to you that we're not looking at some kind of edifice or some kind of an organization. We're talking about an organism, a live being that's founded by the Lord himself. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that if you're on the right foundation, I can tell you what you'll do is that you'll be able to build something strong, something lasting. Did you notice in this chapter, we'll not take time to look at it right now, but there's a gold and silver and precious stone. Those are elements of purification. You blow fire upon them and they can get purified, but wood, hay, and stubble catches a fire, burns up. One of them's permanent and the other's temporary. You're sitting here this morning. Since you got saved, that's by the grace of God. Since you got saved, that's free if you receive it. Since you got saved, buddy, it'll be forever. But make no mistake about it, the building and what you build thereupon is going to be up to you and I. In this Bible lesson, you'll find that one of these days we're either going to rejoice and be glad that because of what we built was tried and tested by the fire, and it remained. But those of us that would be ashamed would be those that used wood, hay, and stubble, and when God breathed the fire on it, it burned it up, and we are suffered loss, but saved yet so as by fire is what we're talking about. Now, that's what's wrong with the average person you find up and down the road. Oh, well, I'm not trying to knock a home run with Jesus or for Jesus. If I'm just saved, that's good enough for me. Well, that won't be good enough when everybody else who has sacrificially lived for God and taken time out, and let me tell you right now, and I'm not talking about me and I'm not particularly talking about you, but they've been some people that didn't just give a little of their life, but they gave all for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you, when they cast a crown at the feet of Jesus Christ because of their works abided the fire and the testing of God, you and I are going to wish we had something as well. And probably there's some crown winners in here this morning. And as a result of that, we certainly all of us want to be. Now, the Bible said that in the building, and we're not going to take time to turn there yet, but over in the book of Matthew, in about chapter number 25, chapter number 7 at about verse number 25, as well as in the book of Luke chapter 6 at about verse number 18, the Bible talks about there's only two choices. And let me tell you, in life, it's either heaven or it's hell. That's the two choices, saved or lost. But you'll notice is that there's only two foundations. One of them is upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and the other one's upon the sand that shifts and that blows from time to time. And to where that if you're on the wrong foundation, one of these days is that your building's going to fall, and great shall be the fall of them. In fact, is over there in the book of Luke, when it gives that account, it talks about somebody with no foundation. Now, when you're here this morning, I hope you have recognized that there's only one foundation, the right foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you, there's not another. What that means is, whenever we read it, said, "For other foundation can no man lay." There ain't a lot of people trying to lay another one. There's a lot of people trying to come up with something else. But Jesus Christ is the only foundation. The only way you can miss hell and make heaven is through Jesus Christ. It cannot be duplicated is what God's trying to drive home to you and I. You ever hear somebody, and let me say to you that if you will, that they'll say something like this: "Well, you know, in our church, well, we're different because in your church..." Let me tell you, the church belongs to the Lord. It's the building of the Lord. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Nobody is in the body of Christ except Jesus has saved them and added them to the church, His church of the living God. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, He's the only foundation. I want you to watch something else about Him, is that you'll find that when He said, "Other foundation can no man lay." Now, you know the reason why no man can do it? This is a divine foundation we're talking about. We're talking about something heavenly, somebody that's holy. We're talking about a divine foundation that came from the hand and the heart of God. In this Bible lesson, you'll find that you'll not find anybody that's ever paid such a debt and such a price as the Lord God of glory, who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the foundation that we're talking about. I want to say to you that when you begin to look, and we're not take time to turn to them, but over there in the book of Hebrews, in about chapter number 9, and about verse number 1, He talked about a divine service. You know, when you got born again, washed by the blood, God put you in business with God. In fact, is in verse number 9 of our text, we are laborers together with God. I can tell you right now, I'm in business, you're in business with God. And the Bible said we're laboring together with God in accordance to the word of the Lord. Our service, buddy, is a divine thing because it came from God. It was imparted from God. There's another thing over in 2 Peter chapter 1 about verse number 3, and we'll not take time to turn there either right now. But let me say to you, there's a divine power. Now, it was not by our power and it was not by our might, but it was by His power, it was by His might that He blowed the shackles of sin from off of, and that He opened up the prison house and set us free from the bondage of sin, self, Satan, and service, and saved us by the grace of God. Let me tell you what a divine power that was. You know, our hope is ought not to be in what we see with humanity. It ought to be what we see by faith, by the power of God. I can tell you, I've seen some people that I absolutely believe that one day would die without hope, without God. There wasn't anything anybody could do. They'd done heard every sermon there was to hear, and I thought there's no hope whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, bam, buddy, the power of God would move upon them, and they became the best Christians that you've ever laid your eyes on. I'll tell you something right now. When you begin to look into it, you begin to find there is that's because of a divine power. Paul said, "I don't want you to be able to put your faith and hope in the ability of man and the wisdom of men. I want it to be in the demonstration of power and of God, the power of the Holy Ghost of God." And he tells them, and I want them to be able to trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and Him alone. And then over there in the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 1 and verse number 4, we're talking about divine things, a divine foundation that we're on, a divine service that we're privileged to be able to serve with, a divine power that blew the shackles of sin off of us. Then you'll find is that the reason being is because in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, God's given us a quote-unquote divine nature. Now, you know the reason why that you can wash a dog or wash a hog and you can press them up and pamper them up and this and that and turn them loose and they go back into the vomit from which they had or into the wallowing of the mire from which they came. Do you know the reason why that? It's because you're changing the outward, but you can't change the inward. You can't give them a new nature. You know what makes the average Baptist walk down the aisle and bow their head, repeat a prayer, and then go out, live like they've always lived, go where they always went, do what they always did, and there's not one change whatever. I can tell you why. It's because you can come down and go through all the motions. You can do all the outward ceremonial thing, but you'll never get your nature changed until you've had a real experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God puts you on the solid foundation. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something. Over there in the book of 2 Timothy, and I'll give you a moment to find that, 2 Timothy. And as we look there in chapter number 2, and in about verse number 19, I want you to watch what he says in the passage. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Boy, if you're on the only foundation that God's ever established and that he'll only acknowledge, you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he's sure, he's steadfast, he's stable, he's a solid rock, he's separated from sinners. I got to tell you, notice what he said. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can tell that when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and they're on the solid foundation, there's a change that takes place in their heart and in their life. I got to tell you, is that every now and again you'll run upon somebody that you knew before they ever got saved, and then after they get saved, you think, man, that just had to be the touch and power of God, because they've got a changed life. And I know it was just more than going through emotion, but I'll tell you, they've had something from on high, and the hand and heart of God's reached down and touched them. That's the evidence of being born again. Who is that? Miss Evie that sings that. Can they see Jesus in me? And I'll tell you, that's a good thing, isn't it? Let me tell you right now that we live in a day and we live in an hour that when religion can't duplicate this, religion can't change your heart and your life. Religion just makes you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. That's why people like psychology. I think about in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that not only is that number one, talking about the only foundation, but I want you to see back in our text is that there's a fire that's mentioned. There comes a testing time, if you please, whenever you're looking into the word of the Lord. And in this lesson in verse number 11, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 11, then verse 12, 13. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, those are your building materials. Three of them are permanent, can be purified. The other three are perishing, and they're temporary. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. Notice of what sort that it is. See that word, what sort that it is. It's not just a bunch of work and a bunch of building and a pile of money. It's a sort. I'll tell you, God's interested in not your quantity, but the quality of the work that you're putting forth. Now, do you realize that over there in the book of Daniel, we'll not take time to look over there, but in the book of Daniel, that they that turn many unto the Lord will shine as the brightness of the stars of heaven. But that doesn't mean those that have got all this child evangelism going across and they're patting themselves on the back. I got to tell you, God's not interested in how much you're buzzing about, but God's interested in the quality of what you're doing. I remember one time there was a preacher got up and he said, if you're not reading so many passages of scripture every day, then you're just not right with God. And I didn't know how many passages he was talking about. I've had him get up and say, if you're not reading through your Bible once a year, I don't know where they got that from. Here's what I do know. Sometimes that I look into the word of the Lord and I get bogged down on one verse. And I'm trying to sort out what that one verse says. Not only that, I'm trying to digest that one verse inside of me. And let me tell you right now, better is one verse digested in your heart and soul that you can use for growth and the glory of God than for you to read 100 chapters and not know one thing you've read when you read into it. I got to say to you that when you got saved by the grace of God, and make no mistake about it, if I read a chapter, a book, and a verse, and you're contrary to that, you're wrong with God. That's not my problem. It's going to be your problem, just like it's not your problem. It'll be my problem if it's on me. I said all that to be able to just to say this, is that don't let everybody try to dictate how much and what you're this and so forth and on and all that. How about just trying to be obedient to the Lord and sit down and enjoy enough where you can be able to digest it and know what it said, where it'll speak to you during the day. You know, every now and again, we'll run upon something. We don't really know what it said. But all of a sudden, God's brought our attention to it. And then you're out there and maybe dealing with another man or another lady or another somebody in life. And all of a sudden, you know, that situation comes up and the Holy Ghost of God in your mind and heart says, now that's what I'm talking about in that passage. Now, I'm going to tell you can't rise above that. He is the teacher of all teachers. He's the preacher of all preachers. God may use somebody to reveal that. Somebody says something from the word of the Lord, and all of a sudden God smites and says, that's what I'm talking about in that passage. The day's going to reveal of what sort that our work is. Not the quantity of it, but the quality of it. Did you know the Bible said there's only two choices, and one of them is you're either going to be on the solid rock foundation, which is Jesus Christ, or you're going to be in the sinking sand of the world. Here, the two choices is you can gain a reward, or you can suffer loss. Just kind of getting through and dragging through life best you can, even as a saved person. You know, there are some people that absolutely, whenever you look at it, and I know there's some folks there that don't appear to be saved. They don't appear to know the Lord. And let me tell you right now is if God hadn't given us all there was about Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah, you wouldn't know he is saved whatsoever. On the other hand, you know, somebody gets up, bam, 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 over your head and tells you God's not going to listen to nothing you have to say and blah, blah, and all that business there. And then what about Balaam? God conversed with him, but he gave him some messages that he didn't want to preach, but he had to preach, and God made him preach up, and yet he died like the heathen died. I mean, you can't figure all that out. Here's what, just about time I think I've got it figured out, God lets me know that my cup is running over, and therefore, what is that she's saying? I'm drinking from my saucer. Because my cup is overflowed. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, you'll find that we're either going to gain reward or we're going to suffer loss because of our works tried and remaining of what sort that they really are. All right, let me say in closing that, if you will, the reason we look at that is because one is works according to the word of the Lord. Very simple. If it's not according to the word of God, it's not of God. If it's according to the word of the Lord, it'll be of the right sort. The other is people that are busy, involved in works that are according to the world. Whatever they deem necessary, whatever they feel good about, I got to tell you right now, I can't go on a feeling. I've been as right with God as I knew how to be and sometime and didn't feel so good about it. I've been wrong sometimes in carnality and felt good about that. See? You know what the difference is? If you'll gauge it according to this book that I hold in my hand. You see that? I guarantee you right now is I may change a little every now and again, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about you, but I'm glad it's like that. Wouldn't you hate to go back to your Bible and say, well, let's see here. Oh, that's all right for me to do now. I've missed a lot of fun. Now, it's not going to be that way. See? Other foundation can no man lay. Boy, there's been a lot of people try to lay a new one. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Do you know Him? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank You for loving us. We were unlovable. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, say, preacher, I'm tired of living like I've been living, doing what I've been doing, being empty. And I just want to trust Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might, with all of my mind. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. If there's anybody like that here today, Lord, I pray You'd make it so for them. We'll say thank You for all You've done, for all You're doing, for loving us even while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with somebody.